Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations. Voices of the people, united we roar. Today is March 24th, 2008, and now from 4:30 to 5, Dr. Barbara Becker hosting with Kids, Tweens, and Teens. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and I'm delighted to be back. And welcome and hello to everybody out there and my special guest today, Lynn Thompson. I'll be introducing you further in a couple of minutes, Lynn, so just hold on.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. So this show is called Kids, Tweens, and Teens, and it is a positive psychologist perspective on those three categories of living, which we, if we have made it to adulthood, have all been through. And if we are in one of those stages, we know how complicated and passionate and fun they can be. Well, we're just beginning to transition between women and happiness, going backwards toward kids, tweens, and teens. So I thought it would be very interesting today to look at women's happiness as well as kids, tweens, and teens, and we'll kind of bridge back and forth. Well, once I decided to do this, there was one particular gal that really came to my mind, and that was Lynn Thompson. I met her because she has some outstanding radio shows for women, and I was a guest on one of her programs. I think it's called, The Living on Purpose. Perhaps she'll fill us in a little more clearly on the current titles, but I'm sure that was the one I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me really impressed with Lynn is that she has become a radio hostess, doing quite a few shows, and has yet, at the same time, reality seems to be big with Lynn. She understands the nature of reality, and she lives it, and she actually has another base job, which I would love her to tell us about. I don't want to give away everything. And because she's really, well, I'll say you, Lynn, you're such a good example to kids, tweens, and teens, and women, that we can put together a creation of our lives that really is authentic for ourselves and yet very practical and realistic. And so without further ado, let me bring you right on board. Welcome, Lynn.
Well, thank you, Barbara. That's an interesting setup for me. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's you brought a lot of memories to mind, and I think it was back in, probably about 8 years ago, I went to a career center to look over my talents and skills, because I'm one of those kinds of people, and I'm sure there's many people like this in the world, who it's hard to know where we fit into, you know, the regular workplace. And I was really encouraged that there were a lot of skills that I had and different jobs that I could fit into. And delivering mail as a courier, so that I'm not always in one place stuck inside, really, really has suited me as a paid job. It's been my most favorite job so far.
Ah, so the secret is out, what you really do for a living. Yes, tell us about how that works a little bit on a daily basis.
Well, basically, as a postal courier, it's called a rural suburban mail courier in Canada, and I live on Vancouver Island, and so there's about 6,000 of us across the country who do this job, and it's a driving route. You don't walk the route. A lot of people think, oh, you must have a lot of exercise, and I go in and sort in the morning for a few hours the letters and parcels and magazines, and then I bundle it all up and go out and drive it and deliver it to about 30 what they're called CMBs. They're sort of super mailboxes that people come then to their little compartments there to open up and get their mail each day. And I just love it. I've become so familiar with this route after being a spare on a number of routes in the early 2000s. For 5 years now, I've had my own route, and it's really a lot like a little meditation that I can go and do. I really enjoy the sorting and organizing and meeting people along outside in the fresh air, whatever the weather's like. I usually get into arguments with people about the weather because they inevitably argue about it not being quite right for them, you know.
How many miles do you drive in your circuit every day?
22 mm-hmm. kilometers, so, yeah.
Which I think is even less, maybe about 18 miles, something like that.
Maybe 15, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that job has allowed me to segue into my radio life. That has allowed me to create this radio show called Living on Purpose, and it still is called that, you were wondering in mm-hmm. your introduction. And I was on a community campus station here on Vancouver Island for 3 years until last summer. And then I had created, manifested, been found on an internet-based radio channel, Radio Ear Network, which is out of Florida, and two podcast networks. One is the Rabble Podcast Network and Women's Radio. And so by last summer, along with doing my live show each week, it was just all too much, and something had to go. And so my birth station went, and I've been continuing to supply programming for these other venues. And I'm actually just on my way to Florida in the first part of April in connection with Radio Ear Network to meet other people involved with the project and do some live shows and interview and be interviewed, and it should be very interesting.
What makes that station unique? What is it all about?
Well, it actually only went on internet air as a channel about 15 months ago, and they have a philosophy of the We All Live Here global community, and they have quite a variety of programming. Their mission, I think, is to bring a lot of thinking inspiration to people, to learn things through the programming and hopefully enhance people's lives who are listening. They've just set up a number of rebroadcasts, including one of Living on Purpose for the European market. So in the middle of the night, our time, it's being heard in Europe at a better time for them. And so they reach out to the global community. And, you know, I do want to make a mention that I feel like I've sort of fallen into a fairly unique category, that I'm not promoting a business. I don't have a business that is sort of the radio show as an outreach for. A lot of the people on Radio Ear are their show is part of their business. And so because I'm virtually still a volunteer with all of this, it has put me into an interesting position with all of the venues that I'm involved with, is that I sort of am greeted in a different way and given more leeway than if I was, you know, doing the business thing like everybody else.
Right, right. It really gives you freedom because you don't have as much of an agenda that is within a business context. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, you would still have agendas in terms of what you want to accomplish in interviewing people. It's interesting because everything you're saying, and if Lillian is listening, Lillian Caldwell, who founded Internet Voices Radio, sounds like the visionary work behind the two stations is fairly similar.
Mm-hmm, it does.
Yeah, so it's wonderful, and perhaps some of these people like Lillian who start these places that are looking for visionary world connections, they should all meet and have some sort of mini conference and get to know each other.
I think,
you know?
So. Yeah, maybe in early Florida. The number of meetings going to happen in that first 15 days that could be, we could share.
So
some stage,
who knows, maybe the purpose I brought you on the show is indirectly for Lillian. So.
Hi, Lillian.
Hi.
Yeah, so very fascinating. The two of you can maybe be in contact with writing and passing on further information with your email addresses. But let me I want to frame what you're telling me back in the positive psychology framework mm-hmm. of the 7 gateways to happiness for women. And it seems to me that you have certainly recognized some of your talents and your potential. That's gateway number one, and you obviously have taken all those things into account for both the radio work and being a postal person. And the second gateway, creating some sort of narrative to your life that makes sense, I see that already woven in, you, how you enjoy meeting people and the meditation and all the things that go from in your daily life. Now, we don't have the full story, so I'm just sketching it.
Sure.
The third gateway of learning how to meet your needs and negotiate. Well, I gather you got yourself a fairly good base job that has some benefits and a retirement package, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That is smart thinking.
Well, for the first time in my life, you know, it took me till my 40s, but
yeah,
here
yeah,
I am.
But you
yeah.
did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth gateway, bringing some pleasure and ways to recoup and recapture a sense of fun and so on. It
mm-hmm.
seems like you're doing that.
Yes.
The fifth gateway, to mentor and be mentored, see yourself as offering gifts as well as receiving gifts. I'm sure the radio work and even all sorts of other things you're doing plays into that. Again, we don't have a clear, we don't have really a fabric yet, but it feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth gateway, not isolating and therefore warding off depression, which women tend to get themselves very often into a depressive mode of withdrawal. I think you're staying way out of isolation. And the last gateway, doing good deeds and taking positive action, you probably are uplifting even in your postal job, although you receive a salary, and there's nothing wrong with receiving money, but you've done a tremendous amount of giving back to the universe through the radio work.
Wow. Well, Barbara,
yeah,
what an uplifting sketch of my life for me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, you would laugh if you saw where I'm living, where I'm sitting right now in my beautiful, cozy little cottage on 100 acres. That's a little bit isolated, but I've been living out, sort of 10 minutes out from any center most of my adult life, which is kind of interesting that I, as a single woman, I have found a balance of my inner and outer worlds. And I think that I've certainly had stretches of depression and insecurity. But more and more, I can't ignore the fact that I am receiving incredible support and inspiration both from within myself and my connection to the universe, as well as from people who have listened to the show and been on Living on Purpose as a guest. Quite often, more often than not, people are very encouraged and strengthened by the experience. And that's really what a big part of my purpose is to uplift people and through the experience.
Now, what I want to do is play a little more of detective.
Okay.
I want to take you back to each of the three periods of time that the show Kids, Tweens, and Teenagers focus on. And have you give us a little sense through a memory or just
mm-hmm.
discussion how, say, you as a kid fits who you are now? Because my hope is to give mothers and fathers and kids more of a sense of optimism, even if a kid's doing poorly in school. You know, are you looking at the whole kid, and or are you just getting down on the kid out of one slice of their potential? So let's start first with kids. Anything in your childhood, and when I say kid, I'm defining up to about 10-ish
mm-hmm.
with the word kid.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things, Barbara, and this is definitely an area that I really love to explore as well, as we did when you were a guest on my show. And certainly there are influences when one is a child, as you know, that can be hard to sort out until later. And in my family, there was myself and then two brothers and a baby who was premature. Something was wrong, and he didn't come home from the hospital, mm-hmm. didn't live. And then there was my sister was born. And I apparently cried all day the day that child didn't come home from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and wasn't aware of of the existence of him until I was about 12.
Wow.
When we went to the family graveyard and there was this little stone there. And so that explained a lot of why through those years from 5 till, you know, 5 through 10 for sure, I would cry without knowing why. And at this day camp when I was probably about 9 or 10, I remember that we had a little clubhouse and the leader wanted us to think up nicknames for each other, and the nickname they gave to me was Stoneface. And, you know, so I think that for parents, if there is a loss of some kind, look for the signs. I mean, obviously in that era, you know, in the early 60s, I think that, you know, it was sort of like, for my mom, it was like, well, let's get on with it, you know, and just put this behind us. So that, you know, if they weren't even dealing with their grief, how was I to be assisted in mine, you know?
Right.
So, interestingly, though, around that time was when I really got interested in radio.
Wow.
And we were driving along. We'd drive to my grandparents quite often, and I would want the window seat so that I could kind of lean into the vibration of the car door, and I would, you know, sing a song and then come on as the DJ and then, you know, go into some news. And I just have wanted to be in radio a long, long time. And so I think that, again, there's a lot of pressure as you're getting older and into your teens. I'm stretching where we're at here, but, you know, to know what you want to do. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. That question, you know, still upsets me to think, what do you want to do?
So really maybe a better thing is to help kids recognize what they're already falling in love with,
exactly,
rather than to ask them, what do you want to do?
Well, exactly, Barbara, because eventually, one way or another, even if we go through lots of detours to get to our passion, we're going to get there sooner or later. So why not give some support for where the natural inclinations are?
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And you bring up something so important. My psychology head won't let us pass without just saying a little more to our listeners. If there is a secret in the family or a trauma that you don't feel, you know, that you're trying to just wall off, even if very, you know, I'm not telling you to tell a secret that's inappropriate to your kids. That has to be judged by you and or you and professionals. But certainly recognize that the kid is going to intuit that things are off, and he or she will be looking for a pathway to truth that really makes sense and makes his whole life feel whole and integrated, and somehow, some way, find a way to give that to the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure, and I'm just catching sight of one of the pages in your book here, The Truth, about, you know, I'm worried. What if my mother and father or grandmother or grandfather die? You know, and I remember jumping forward into being a young teenager, the first time they left me at home when the family all went on a trip. And I was fine for a while until they were late coming home. And I totally panicked. I totally freaked out when they drove in the driveway. I was a mess because I was thinking, oh my God, if they've all died, who am I going to live with? My aunt or my grandfather or what, you know? And those are such natural fears as a teenager because, you know, you have the illusion of things being in place, and yet there's always the possibility that things will change way beyond your ability to feel any familiarity with them.
Right. And the intensity that you feel it is just beyond description. And I think as adults, we dread those times. That's why, you know, we don't want to hear that someone we love has cancer or, you know, any shock, because it does bring us back to some of those earlier feelings that we wall off most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important. And I myself can remember my father was offered a job. Actually, he's offered two jobs. One was in upstate New York, lovely town, to be a superintendent of schools, which he already was in Norwalk, where we lived in Connecticut. And I was just like crumbling. How could I could never, never leave and go to a different school for the rest of high school. It was like impossible, case closed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I was an only child, and I guess my father wasn't 100% in favor of the job, status-wise, money-wise, whatever, I was relieved of the burden because he didn't take the job.
Mm.
But those feelings were so absolute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I remember also as a teenager being much more curious about my babysitter's life, like because she was single, she had a couple different boys she was dating, and I was much more curious about what life could be like if you didn't get married. Like, why was that what everybody was sort of rooting
mm-hmm.
towards, right?
So this is really another important sub-theme that you were having some perhaps defining moments. Now we're leaping over the tweens. We're going right to the teens for the moment.
Yeah, we are at the moment.
But we'll come back. Some sense that maybe for you a single life would be a good thing, and you were trying to get your bearings.
Well, yeah, and later, oh dear, I'm going to jump into my 20s now, but, you know, I realized that my mom had given up a career to get married. And she wasn't necessarily that happy to be trapped at home with a bunch of babies. When that baby died, she had 3 children at home under 5.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that as, you know, I mean, maybe some people who have really happily married parents. Now, not to say that my parents were unhappily married, but they're still both alive and they're still married. However, I guess as a child, I was picking up on a lot of undercurrents of some suffocation.
Well, this is a very important theme, and it's really, really the essence of why I became a outward-going psychologist more than just in the treatment room and wrote my first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, is that women, and a lot of this has been talked about in the feminist movement, and feminist psychologists have written about these things, but a woman's place historically and into this last century, this century, has not been that comfortable a place.
Mm-hmm.
There is a loss of self and status that many women have suffered, even in a country like the United States and or Canada, where freedom, technical freedom, may be way ahead of most of the countries of the world. But still, it's a personal loss and a balance of power that's very complicated. If there's only one income, the husband is making it. If the woman is living within a house that may be a little isolated, or her relatives, her dear friends live in other towns, or they're busy. There are many factors where she is not, as you said, there can be a feeling of suffocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for a woman, I'm not against marriage. I'm not against people living in communities and men and women each having their own skills and talents as human beings, but that's why it's so important, in my opinion, for girls and then later tweens, teens, and adult women to really stay focused on all the gateways of learning and rejuvenation that they're going to have to do in order to, not be suppressed.
Yeah, and to be open to the pause.
So, let me see where I want to take this with the little bit of time we have. How did your mother? What's your mother doing now? Would you say that she found a way to flower in older life?
Well, no, I would say it's pretty challenging because for the last 10 years she's had Alzheimer's developing, and she's going to be 81 this year, and she's in a home. And we talk on the phone about once a week. We're able to do that with somebody, you know, getting the phone into her hands and hanging it up
right,
for her.
Right, right.
So it's, Yeah, it's.
How about, say, from 50-ish to 71? Were there some times where she was able to finally put it together, a life that gave her meaning?
Yeah, I think she was able to find more satisfaction in being able to help in different areas of society that she had, you know, been limited from for those years of child rearing. And I think she did find some years of satisfaction that way, helping. She was very, very smart on the computer. She organized the whole library at the church they were involved with. And a bit earlier than that, she'd been doing a lot of tutoring and getting back into being an actuary, an insurance accountant work that that she really enjoyed. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, quickly, does anything stand out in your tween years, which would be about 10 to 14, that played an important part now as you look back and you identify your development?
Well, it's interesting. One of my memories from reading your book was remembering that around that time, in that time period, I was a bit of a late bloomer, as I still am, but a late bloomer at that point, realizing how children were born. I remember very clearly walking home with a friend from public school, and so that would have been, yeah, around 12, and saying to her that I really, it was a mystery to me how the child knew that the parents were married to be born. I honestly had no idea.
So are you saying how did the child know to come to this set of parents or something?
No, that somehow I didn't realize that some children were born to mothers who weren't married. Like
okay.
I thought that the child had this psychic knowledge that these parents were married and ready to receive them. Like I was really out of touch.
Yes, yes. But did your friend clue you in, or what happened in that conversation?
Oh, I think there was, you know, sort of the sideways look and sort of, you know, honestly, I'm not really sure at what point I really got it.
Yeah. It reminds me of the story that my mother, who also, and we've discussed this when I was on your show, my mother has a lot of senility, but 3 years ago, she wrote her own book, Feel Good Stories.
Right.
And one of those stories was about her, this thing that was so upsetting her that she finally insisted when she was maybe about 10 that she had to go into the family doctor and speak to him alone, which was a very unusual circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, because usually he did family visits and whatever. And, she went to his office. He wasn't coming to the house for an emergency illness call. My grandmother finally let her go into the office alone. And my mother told the doctor that she was afraid she was going to have a baby because her mother told her that kissing can lead to having a baby.
Oh, geez.
And she had kissed, or this little boy had kissed her.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Okay.
I mean, okay, I feel better now because that's even worse.
And she had been quite tortured with this for
a
while.
Yeah.
So that was, he was very kind and reassuring, and she went out feeling a heck of a lot better.
Oh, that's great that she shared that. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and just as a note with my mother, that before the Alzheimer's really closed in, she did, under the finish line, get her memoirs written, which is an amazing collection of, you know, photographs and stories. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So we see that the more we can help our kids when they are kids, feel comfortable to fall in love with what suits them, their talents and strengths and their potential, the happier they'll be and the more chance they're going to have to find a way to eventually put together a career and a way of life, which I think, Lynn, you represent. It's a good story.
Well,
it's
Barbara, I just realized there's one more pivotal memory in that, tweens is my father taking photographs all through my childhood and me taking a photograph on his camera that totally turned my life towards photography. I was a self-employed professional photographer for about 18 years leading up to the radio life. So that was definitely a big influence and one that that he encouraged me with.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's critically important. And if someone would say, well, okay, but she's not doing photography now, but probably we could spend the next hour with the different things you got out of photography, how it fed into radio work, and how you made certain connections because of it, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. No, we could talk further, but I'm really, really glad that we've had this half hour, and it's been a real pleasure being your guest.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Now, let me just back up and tell everybody that when you referred to the truth is my girls, tweens, and teens edition, and the full title is The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. It's for sale. It's only $6.95. I am pushing all those people who may want to buy it to try to buy it through Amazon, if that's possible. Otherwise, go into any bookstore. But I am really working to make this a bestseller on Amazon. I think the girl inside of me and the girl inside of the book deserves it, so I'm working hard.
Good.
And you can all find me, Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein, positive psychologist, on my website, which is www.enchantedself, that's one word, enchantedself.com, and write to me, be in touch, and don't forget the truth, I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything. And Lynn, any defining information you want to give people, how to reach you, and et cetera, go right ahead, right now.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Yeah, my website is www.livingonpurposelynn.com, and Lynn is L-Y-N-N. So livingonpurposelynn.com, and that gives you reference points to where the show is showing up and some details about that.
Great. Well, Lynn, I hope we'll meet in person.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, and thank you for being on my show, and everyone out there, come back next week for another edition of Kids, Tweens, and Teens. Bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and her guest, Lynn. And if you want to hear both ladies all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Click on Archives on the left-hand side of the page. A list of names will arrive, and Dr. Barbara Becker's among them. The audio ought to be up within an hour or two. Looking for the MP3 streams? Not a problem. Look on the lower right-hand side of the webpage. Click on VIP. It'll take you to a member site. Sign up for free, and then for $2.60, you can download any MP3 that you want. And you, instead of whistling to work, you can listen to the great philosophies of, or listen to the great advice by, and you can always have Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein just on a moment's notice. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you go away, Elizabeth Bowen had this to say in 1938, happy that few of us are aware of the world until we are already in league with it. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a great evening at 7 o'clock early program with Tom Zort. And Tom Zort and Lilia Caldwell 30-minute poetry show, followed by Marketing for Fun and Profit, sponsored by Star Publish. Check them out, http://starpublishllc.com, with Janet Elaine Smith. And then following Janet comes The Screaming Woman with Tony Quest. So I hope you can join us this evening. Thank you all very much for listening. And remember, keep listening. Bye.